Well, today our colic expresses, or it actually does its job. It collects our thoughts. It gets us ready. It gets us thinking for our gospel later on. And what I noticed, before I get to the gospel part, but what I noticed is where it says, O God, whose glory it always is to have mercy. So many times in our world, like our definition or our idea of glory is so much different than God's. Glory is God's idea of glory is to have mercy, is to be patient, to be compassionate, forgiving, self-sacrificing, faithful, being steadfast to the end. God's idea of glory is perfect love. Human idea of glory sometimes gets a little bit warped, but not in its entirety. Usually when we think of somebody that's glorious, we think, oh, they're a winner. They're very talented, they're very skilled, they're number one, top in their field no matter what they're doing. They're in charge, or powerful, and sometimes wealthy, in control. So we're learning each and every day, every time we read the Bible, to learn how God thinks, how God feels, how God does, and how God loves. And then we're to learn and want to imitate His ways. So I'm going to read the couplet one more time. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray and bring them back. Bring them again with penitence and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. So we're asking God to be gracious and to bring us back, not to reject us and not to send us away, but to be gracious and patient and to bring us back. Now I'm going to go right to the gospel. If you want to take out your lectionaries, you can, but you don't have to. Nicodemus was obviously afraid. He was afraid to be seen. He was afraid of popular opinion. He was afraid and fearful of his friends, his peers, or his colleagues. But even though he came by night, and that shows us he just really didn't want to be seen, he did go. He did go to Jesus. Nicodemus knew in his heart that Jesus really was different. He knew, Nicodemus knew that Jesus was special. And if we remember at the end of the Gospels, Nicodemus did bring the spices for Jesus' burial. He was true at heart, but just needed to learn a little bit more. He didn't, at that time, get the whole picture. And he said to Jesus, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. He was afraid, maybe to admit or to accept at that time that Jesus was the Messiah. But Jesus wasn't at all interested in popular opinion. Nope. Jesus was interested in one thing, saving us. For Jesus, his ministry, his life here on earth, was not all about him. It was all about doing God's will. So instead of replying about how Nicodemus said, oh, well, we know that you are a good teacher who was sent from God, Jesus wanted Nicodemus to think for himself. He didn't respond to that. He wanted Nicodemus to go beyond the limited thought of Jesus as a teacher. He wanted him to go beyond the Pharisaic law all the way towards accepting God's true law of love and mercy. Something the Pharisees had forgotten to do. They actually made the law a burden for the people. They made God inaccessible rather than accessible. Jesus knew that he had not been received as the Messiah. They didn't accept Jesus as God's Christ, the Anointed. Yes, maybe a good teacher, but one that the Pharisees wanted to be able to control or to manipulate. But Jesus is more, much more than a teacher. So Jesus, being himself, began to direct and guide Nicodemus back to God, back to God's truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He didn't get distracted by Nicodemus' partial compliment. Jesus didn't let their flattery wow him or get to him. He wasn't impressed, thinking, oh, I'm good because they said I'm good. He didn't let that distract him. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to realize, to get back on track towards learning about God's true nature of love and mercy. And he wanted him to get back on track towards knowing God's purpose. So towards the end of the gospel, I'm going to skip right down to those last three verses. He wanted Nicodemus to learn. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Well, we know what that means. And if we remember, when Moses was in the wilderness with the Israelites for those 40 years, and they were sick, we know that Moses got a pole, he made a bronze serpent, and he held it up. And as long as the people could see the pole, as long as the people could see the serpent hanging on the pole, they were healed. So Jesus uses that as an analogy for his crucifixion. When anyone looks on the crucified Christ, when they look at the cross with Jesus on it, and they see all of us, and we see our sin, and we believe in Jesus, we believe that he is the Messiah, then we are healed. We are saved. Jesus tells Nicodemus, that is the true love of God. That's how much God really loves all of us. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. God gave us Jesus. That's a gift. Jesus came willingly as the gift. He willingly offered his life. God is self-sacrificing. It's not greed or selfishness. So God gave us Jesus, and Jesus came. Why? For love. Because of love. Jesus gave himself because he wanted to obey God's will, and he loved us more than himself. So finally, in the very last verse, Jesus gets a little bit more explicit, or a little bit more specific. In the last verse, Jesus says, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. What a comfort. God didn't send Jesus to go around pointing his finger at everyone. He had the right to, but he didn't. Jesus didn't go around pointing his finger saying, well, gee, you did this or you did that. You're awful. You disgust me. Get away from me. You're terrible people. No, that's not what Jesus' message was. Jesus did not come to condemn us. God sent Jesus to show God's true nature Jesus was sent to do God's true purpose and will for all of us, salvation. So like Nicodemus, Jesus is guiding us even here today. We are to accept Jesus, not as a teacher, somebody that's special that we can still control or manipulate, but as the loving Savior who is willing to hang on the cross, to suffer and die, and then be resurrected for us so that we can be saved. Jesus is guiding us into faith, the gift of faith that God gives us. We are to believe in Him and His love and His mercy. God does love each and every one of us, no matter what. The question for each and every one of us is to ask ourselves, do we love God back as He deserves?